go. Two clicks north for the Bronx. Who ever thought she would have found love in a stereo? Two headphones and a...
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns for the latest draft news, photos, videos, and more from the team. Like them on Facebook at Cleveland Browns. Follow them on Twitter at Browns and on Instagram at Official Browns. And we are very happy to have with us right now great friend and frequent contributor to this show. He is Don Banks from Sports Illustrated and SI.com. First of all, Don, welcome back.
Good to be with you, Vic and Nathan. It's been a while, but it's starting to heat up, and there's somehow always plenty of Browns news to talk about.
You can't really go a week without something significant, and of course, you can't even go a day this week regarding Alex Mack. So the Jaguars making the offer to him or presenting that offer sheet. What do you see happening based on everything you know about the situation?
Well, I mean, to me, it seems like the Browns have kind of staked out the ground that they're going to match. When Jimmy Haslam came out and said they were pretty confident, I think it really kind of put the onus on Cleveland. I think to not do so, they really leave themselves open to all kinds of second guessing on why they applied the transition tag instead of the more secure franchise tag where they would be compensated if he walked. I think that kind of forced their hand, and they have the cap room. So I guess I put me in the category if they don't match, I will be surprised at this point, and I think it would be, frankly, a blunder because they could have avoided the whole scenario with the higher tag.
Right. Do you think, though, Don, now that if they do match and bring him in, the fact that they didn't franchise him allowed them to at least get him at 2 years for 18, which would have been very tough had they franchised him?
Well, right, but I mean, it wouldn't have been drastically different. I think it would have been 2 years at 22, correct?
Right.
All right, so we're talking, you know, I mean, it's big money to the rest of us, but relative to what an NFL franchise deals with, they felt pretty secure with the transition tag. I think the smarter move, obviously, would have been to go a little bit higher and then just probably avoid the entire situation because Jacksonville, like every other team, is not going to go with the higher tag. So they left themselves open. It will probably work out that they get Alex Mack back for 2 years. And maybe during that time, the stability that the franchise has long sought comes, and then he looks at the franchise anew. But, you know, 5 years for what he's been through, I don't think anybody can begrudge him or fail to understand why he might be looking to move on to a different situation and try to win elsewhere.
And Don, let's talk about value of the position of center and all things. I mean, the franchise's reputation and all that, I know, have to come into the conversation about doing right things with prominent guys. This is a Pro Bowl center, though.
Right.
And as you kind of have that comparative look at the league, at teams that are consistently successful, would you go along with the notion that one thing they do have in common, they have other things, but one thing they have in common is a really strong guy playing that, a really talented guy playing that position?
I totally agree with that, Vic. And I think from your experience, you know, it hasn't necessarily always been that way, but I do think there have been periods in the game where a center was, you know, kind of the glue or the captain of your offensive line. And I think in the last 5 to 8 years, I think the league has prioritized more and more the position. It has become, you can never call it a glamour position because of the beatdown you take at it, but I think it has become seen as a very pivotal, the fulcrum point of the offensive line. You want a guy that is really a good leader, really smart guy. He obviously has to make some calls there. It has become, I think, a very respected position in the NFL. I think that's the best way I would put it.
And, Don, when you look at that position specifically in the framework of what Kyle Shanahan wants to do with his offensive line and the movement that Alex Mack has from the center position, how important is it to keep him in this particular system?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see any way that you move the ball forward as far as where Cleveland is trying to go if you let Alex Mack. That's the kind of player you have to retain. The method of how they're going to go about it is certainly going to be open to second-guessing, perhaps. But I think when you have a fifth year or heading into a sixth year, first round pick, Pro Bowl talent. He's part of the solution, not part of the problem. So I think he's very important, and I think in some ways I'm surprised it's taken as long as it has for another team to put together this, you know, this offer.
Don Banks from Sports Illustrated SI.com joins us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Don, looking at all the moves that this team has made to date in free agency, as you've studied them, what are some of your takeaways on what the Browns have done?
I feel like, Vic, they've had a decent offseason. I don't particularly think they went at it with the same level of aggression that they have in past years, but they didn't have to. What I love is that when they look up on draft night, to me, this is the draft that if the Browns are really going to win, they've got a nail. And I look at them and I say, they need to come away with a quarterback, and I think they need to come away with a top receiver. And I know there's a lot of different ways they can go about it, and where they take that quarterback. I gave them in my most recent mock, which ran this week, I gave them Manziel at 4. I came back and gave them a cornerback, I believe Gilbert, with their second first-round pick. I'm thinking of
Kyle Fuller.
I'm thinking of Kyle Fuller. Thank you.
I
think they have to nail it in the top three rounds. And if they do so, and if they get their quarterback, I think with the defense that's been kind of coming the last 2 years, people can sit back and finally say, if we can get some stability in Cleveland, this thing has a chance to finally head in the right direction.
And how quick in your mind could the turnaround for this team be, given the additions in free agency, given the fact that it looks, at least it appears, that the offer that's been made to Alex Mack is one that will allow them to match and retain his services, and with those picks as you outlined, is this a team that fans could reasonably expect to go from, say, 4-12 to 9-7 possibly this season?
Yeah, I think I might put the over-under more in the 8-win territory, but I think that type of season may be in store for taking the next step. You've had, what now, six consecutive seasons with either 4 or 5 victories, correct? Right. 07 was the last season that broke out of that norm when they went 10-6. Mm-hmm. I think you have to kind of first shoot for 500. It obviously is still a very difficult division. I think Baltimore's had an extremely strong offseason, kind of got the smelling salts underneath their nose with last year's non-playoff finish, the first of the Harbaugh era. Pittsburgh, I still see Pittsburgh as an aging team that has got a lot of issues. And Cincinnati, to me, it just comes down to, again, if Andy Dalton is their future and if he's the guy that's going to be able to win in the playoffs. But I think Cleveland has reason for hope, but we've seen it so many times that I don't think anyone's going to get too far ahead of the curve. I think there are quality additions that have been made, and I think this draft then really will tell us, it's going to be all about the quarterback position. This draft will tell us so much about what Cleveland is going to accomplish in 2014.
Don, and just to follow up on that quickly, since you mentioned how important the quarterback position is, and I agree with you, how do you rank, say, the top 4 quarterbacks in this year's draft?
I think Manziel is that it factor, whatever a quarterback possesses that allows him to rise to occasions, to handle pressure. He looks like the type of guy, and I said this, I would bank on the guy that looks like he wants the pressure in big situations, that his track record has been to win most of the big games he's been involved in. And then after him, I would look at Bortles, because I think he does have what the pro game looks for in terms of his measurables and his growth potential. But I'm not a huge Teddy Bridgewater guy after that. I think he, and I hate this terminology because it was used once upon a time on Peyton Manning and it sounds so laughable, but I really do think he's largely the quarterback he's going to be already. And that, I think, gives some teams pause for whether or not you're going to get a guy in who has the ability to get much better. And then lastly, Garoppolo, the Eastern Illinois quarterback, I think he's going to go either low first or high second, and I think he's one of the guys that could, in years to come, we look back and say, how did he last that long? I think he's extremely accurate, the quick release. I know he did not play against big competition week in and week out, but when he did, I thought he acquitted himself really well, and I would put him above Derek Carr, to be honest. That's how I break it down.
And Don, you say nail this draft, and no doubt, all totally in agreement with that. But beyond getting quarterback right, what else do you mean by that in terms of like impact time? Because with all these quarterbacks, there's still that question of how quickly they're going to do, you know, do things to help you out, number one. And number two, the other positions that you see this team hitting that have to be difference-making positions this year. I assume that is what you mean by nailing this draft, because the window's pretty tight in terms of how long you can wait for guys you draft in May to help you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they're going to come out of this draft with three or four really strong starting possibilities. And, you know, it depends on the quarterback. It obviously, starting with 08 with the Flacco-Matt Ryan class, we've seen an awful lot of guys who have hit it very early. They kind of set the bar differently starting that year with, can you win with a rookie quarterback? And the saying was you couldn't, but we think differently. Now, it's certainly not the vast majority, because, you know, we saw E.J. Manuel struggle to stay on the field last year and Geno Smith ride the roller coaster, and there have been other misses in the last 5-6 seasons as well. But I think if they find the right guy, who kind of, you know, adds an element of playmaking that Cleveland simply hasn't had at that position, be able to challenge downfield, every quadrant of the field, be able to find two or three guys that he can feed consistently. You know, I think there's a quarterback out there for Cleveland who could make them a handful to play starting this year, and if he grows enough, a playoff contender in 2015.
That certainly would be music to everybody's ears here, and I think it is. I think that there are some good options at the quarterback position. We know wide receiver is incredibly deep in this draft and ability to really nail things down. Now, do you think on the defensive side of the ball, and I'm going to guess the answer is yes, because you had him take Fuller 26, which I have in my mock as well. Corner is probably the biggest remaining need on that side of the football, along with maybe an inside linebacker?
Yeah, to me, it would be corner. I just think they're more valuable, obviously, yep, even than the inside linebacker. And I think you have the makings of a pretty good secondary, but I think in today's day and age, obviously, you have to have at least three cornerbacks you feel really good about. And I thought that made the most sense for where that pick falls. I know a lot of people have, you know, that pick, that second pick at 26 being the Derek Carr pick, and maybe that's how it will end up going. But to me, of the top eight teams, and five of them we identify as quarterback needy, to me, Cleveland is the most likely of those teams to take a quarterback at four, if it really has conviction about a guy. I don't know yet whether the Browns have that for any one particular guy. Certainly hasn't kind of coalesced around anyone in particular. But I think you have to get the quarterback thing settled, and if that means going at number four with the quarterback in Cleveland, it makes more sense than anybody else that's out there looking, the Minnesotas, the Oaklands, the Jacksonvilles, the Houstons.
Don, great stuff. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us and sharing your knowledge with us,
Bert. And we didn't even talk draft day. I can't believe it. So
the draft day, yeah, that's right, the movie. Did you get a chance to see it?
I didn't see it. I saw the trailer, and I wrote a piece last week about the Browns, which draft day and the Kevin Costner conference call just gave me pause to think about where the Browns have been these last 20 years, and it's kind of remarkable. Not even Kevin Costner can totally dress this up, but it really – I wrote, just talked to Ernie Accorsi, the last GM to really win in Cleveland, to know what it feels like to be – a winner in that town for that franchise. And I drew the line after the 94 Belichick playoff season and looked at the next 20 years of what was to come from 95 to current day. It's pretty staggering.
Yeah, it really is. And you're right, though. I mean, the movie, the way art is imitating life or life is imitating art as this team approaches this, since that movie was shot, okay, yeah. And they were, and that whole crew, Kevin Costner, Jennifer
right.
Garner, were in Berea for it. Till now, with all the changes, you've had a coaching change, you've had the front office changes, and all the in the same level of pressure weighing on Ray Farmer as the real general manager versus what is weighing on Sonny Weaver Jr., the Costner general manager.
Can't make this stuff up, can you? You can't make this stuff up.
You can't make it up, and we didn't. Right, it's not made up. It's real.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's
amazing stuff.
It's been an interesting offseason once again for Cleveland, and I look forward to, in some ways, saying – they've had a boring offseason. I remember the last time I thought they had a boring offseason was heading into the 08 season coming off the 10-6. I remember talking to Phil Savage at training camp and saying, you guys are quiet. That's a good thing. And then 6 years of headlines ensued.
Of unrest.
All right, Don, thank you again.
Thanks
Take
so
care,
much,
guys.
Don.
All right, we've got much more coming up for you. We're going to do a little fact or fiction in this show today. And we want to hear from you at 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850 to weigh in with your thoughts on whether or not the Browns should match the Alex Mack offer sheet from the Jacksonville Jaguars, what they should do with that fourth pick. You want to talk quarterbacks? You just heard Don Banks talk about that position. So much more ahead with Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura, ESPN 850 WKNR.